And here we are, season three. I will be interviewing the dopest and the most influential individuals that have created such an impact within their communities, whether it's through artistry, activism, medicine, education, fashion, and science. One defining thing that they all have in common is that they are effortlessly their authentic self. Philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson said it better: faithless to be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. Wow, I felt that. With that being said, please welcome my next guest. Welcome to the Anybody Podcast Show with your girl Reese. We are back again with more intimate conversations. And this time I pulled in such an amazing woman, Marika Lott. I want to introduce you to the world. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you so much for inviting me. Like, when you messaged me with this, I was like, what, me? Really? Like, I was so surprised and humbled that you would hit me up and think that your folks want to hear from me.
I mean, come on. First of all, you're a CEO of your own company. It's a family business. You're a coach. Number three, like, there's so, you're an amazing mother. I followed you for some time now. Okay. You are an amazing mother. Number four, educated. You're so educated. I mean, we're talking about a professional degree and your doctorate degree. I mean, who would not want to get the gems from you, hear your story? I mean, and then there's so much more, because you're like, this is everything you want to know. Here we go. We're going to go for it. But you, I love looking and listening and having you on my feet, because you're so 100% authentic.
Thank you.
And you share yourself, a lot of yourself, and I don't want to compare you to other people that don't, you know, everybody's different. Like, that's how I look at it. But it's something different when you are, you're able to see something relatable and feel like it's okay to let people in your world, because there's so much strength and vulnerability. And so let's talk about that. Start from the beginning. Where are you from originally?
I'm actually from Germany, so you'll probably hear like a slight accent here and there.
Mother, you told me, you're like, I'm German. She's like, I'm from another motherland, okay?
I'm German. I was born and raised here. Sometimes people don't know that, because I don't have like the typical German accent, but like a miscellaneous one. Yeah, I've lived in the States probably for about 7 years on and off. Yeah, like you said, I think like my biggest and most important job is, of course, you know, being a mother to my just amazing kids. I mean, they're just everything, you know. So I think that everything we do at the end of the day, if you have children, is for them. But yeah, you already did like a big introduction.
What brought you to the States? Why were you here for 7 years and on and off? Like, what was that?
At the time, I was a military spouse, so okay. We would move every 3 years. And we moved back and forth from Germany to the States like four times, I think. Oh. It was also during the time when I was finishing my degree here and then starting my degree over there. It was such a process to get that transferred, and it was just a very crazy time. It's, you know, I've always found myself in a position where I had to wing it. Like, it was never really like a straight path where it was like, oh, normal people do this and, you know, and they just do it normally. It was always like a roller coaster and having to multitask and just figure it out as I go.
How was it for you to leave home and then come into the States? And then on top of that, being a military wife, like, was it difficult for, was there a culture shock? Or, because I've been to Germany, of course, we had spoke about that. I've been to Köln, and yeah. It's so
vibrant, so sophisticated, like, and then you come to a base. Like, how is that? You know, it's like going to, you know, filet mignon. And I don't want to dog out the United States, but going that and then, oh, shoot, I'm at McDonald's right now.
The first time I went, I was actually an exchange student in high school. So that was before I lived there. But the first time I went, and everything is so big. It's really like I landed and the streets are big and the cars are big and the jars of mayonnaise are huge. Like, who needs that much of one thing at the store? It was the biggest culture shock, but I've always enjoyed, you know, learning about other cultures. And then of course, you know, at the time, America was like, oh my God, like, you know, that's the place you want to check out. But yeah, it was, once I actually moved there, it wasn't that big of a culture shock. I mean, being part of the military community is again, a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Because it's a tighter knit community. You really get embraced into, you know, that group of people when you get there. So I think it was a little bit easier probably going there that way.
For sure. And then your kids, were they born in the US or were they born in Germany?
One was born in the States, and we actually got, so with the military, you sometimes get very short notice, you know, information that things are about to change. So she was born, and then at 2 months old, we moved overseas.
Okay.
I had this itty bitty baby, and it was like, hey, you have 30 days to move overseas. Wow. And I was like, I guess we're doing this. And then the other one was born here in Germany. And I think when she was about a year old, we moved back over there, I think.
And was that the same time that you decided to go back to school, or what was that deciding factor that, okay, I have this little baby, what am I doing? Like, what's the direction, or, you know, or professionally?
I got my degree in physical therapy here in Germany. And that's a bachelor's degree. At the time, even that was new. It was before that, it was an apprentice job. And then, from there, I learned that in other countries, that's a master's degree or even a doctorate. And I was like, okay, cool.
Yes.
Let me do that. I'm not sure why at this, because I've never used my degree. Like, I have it. It looks pretty, but I have never worked as a physical therapist ever.
Right.
It's really crazy. But yeah, I just figured I'm going to get it accredited, get it shifted over to the American system. And then I learned that our bachelor's was pretty much equivalent to a master's in the States, so I could skip my master's and go straight into the doctorate program. And right. I just did that while pregnant, while having the first baby, and then while pregnant with the other one. And it was just, I remember sitting there in chemistry class with a baby literally on my boob.
Wow.
Taking tests, because, you know, you just do what you got to do to get it done. And that was it at the time.
And then you completed your doctorate in physical therapy in Germany.
In the States.
In the States, so right.
That was a degree.
Right, and you're correct. I think when I was getting my master's degree, they had changed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, so that was some quite time ago. And so it's, you go straight into the doctorate program once you're done. So it is a professional, it's a professional base, and they prepare you. Ultimately, like, for you to start working, you definitely need to get your doctorate. Right.
That's amazing. It was actually one of my all-time favorite moments in my life. Oh, I'm tearing up. It was just such a beautiful moment I had. I went to my graduation in Boston, and again, with the way the military works sometimes, I went and had to do my graduation by myself, which I didn't know. I thought I was gonna have their father there, but that didn't happen.
Right.
And I went there and I was like, hey, I'm here and this is all beautiful, but I think I'm not gonna walk the stage because I have two children literally attached to me. And they were like, no, you are going to stay. You are going to go on stage. You have to. Like, you've done the work, you have to. And So I had on my little robe and gown, and then I had one child on my hand and the other one in a baby carrier on my back first. And I had to switch her over to the front so that I could do the hooding ceremony where they throw stuff
on
the back.
So awesome.
And there's just this beautiful picture from that day that's just, I got goosebumps. Like that was just.
I have to do that. I need to see that picture. I think that's amazing. Do you have video on that?
I don't have video. I just have the picture. And I only have that picture because my mother found it on their Twitter. I didn't even know that existed.
So cool. That is so fucking cool. Are you? It was
really sweet. And it was such a beautiful moment for the girls too. Like they didn't really know what's going on. Yeah. And like I was sitting in the stands they had like the seated area. And they made sure that I would walk first because I told them I cannot keep them quiet that long. So I was sitting there and they talk and they, you know, graduations there. And I kept bribing them with more and more things. I was like, hey, if you're quiet for 5 more minutes, you get chocolate. So they stayed quiet. And then they started stirring up again. It's like, hey, you know, if you can hold it together for 5 more minutes, you get gummy bears. So I had to go through all the lists of amazing things they love to keep them quiet for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because they were little. They were like 1 and 3, I think, maybe. So that's a tough crowd to keep calm for that long.
And you did that. Wow. And so after that, what made you, I know that you said that you really haven't specifically used it, but you're so familiar with the body. So you know, in terms of rehabilitation, so you kind of indirectly know and you use it. But what made you move into this family, the family business, and you're currently a CEO. Like, what was that jump from you leaving from that, you know, military wife, to have young children, getting your doctorate degree, and then now, what was the shift?
It was because somebody had to do it. So you know about it. So sometimes you know, just somebody has to do it, and sure. I guess I'll go ahead and do that. I figured I'll just have to sign a couple papers. And for the longest time, it was very much like that. Like we all really work together and everybody does their part. And it wasn't until this last year where I really had to grow into that position. Like I have no background in business. I have no background. It's a, so with the family business, it's a hotel, like a, very nutrition focused, a vegetarian hotel. And then it also has a nutrition optimization software branch. So I don't know nothing about software. I don't know nothing about hotels and I don't know nothing about business, but I still had to do the job. You know?
On top of that, it's health focused. It's a vegetarian. Right. So you have that other aspect of that too.
Right.
Wow. What is it? What is the name? Like, tell us the whole history of.
The whole history. My dad came up with it all. He's very good at optimizing things. Mm-hmm. And he figured, you know, why not nutrition? And our family, we're all vegetarians. A couple are vegan now, I think. So it kind of occurred to him, you know, to see how, you know, you can optimize nutrition. And the interesting part was that a very heavily plant-based diet actually comes out on top, not completely, to be fair, but a very heavy focus on that is definitely optimal for most people. And then we just kind of, I guess he needed a hotel to go with that. So that's what he did. And here we are, you know, a generation later, kind of stepping into those footsteps. And yeah, so in the last year, I've really grown into that role a lot more. You know, with the pandemic happening, that's a difficult time to run a hotel because over here, everything's closed. I don't know how things are in the States right now, but we, in Germany, we've been pretty tight-lipped. Is that the right thing to say? Is that the correct phrase?
Tight-lipped?
We've been very, we've shut down often and hard and everything's closed. So it's been interesting, but I think the most important thing that I learned was that I found that I'm a pretty good communicator. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes, you know, when you run a business like that, actually understanding what is important to people, what, you know, I don't know how to really explain it. We're in the hiring process right now, and to really understand a person, read a person, understand what's important to them, and to reassure them, you know, that is what they're going to get out of working with us, has been like the biggest thing that I learned. If that makes sense.
Yes, it totally does.
This is like completely like out of my, like, this is not what I've ever done, you know?
Right.
You just jump in and you figure it out.
So I read that there's a few countries that are, and I don't know if it's hearsay or whatever. My mom had sent me the link yesterday. Germany went down to another lockdown, complete lockdown recently, and Italy, some parts of France, and I forgot another country. How are the cases there? Because, you know, here in the United States, everything is opening up now, like everything, you know, right when we had the vaccine, it was submitted, our President Biden, everything just moved along. You're like, wait a minute, are you serious right now? Like, what's going on here?
I'm so jealous. I have vaccine envy, if I may say this out. I was seeing my friends in the States getting vaccinated. I was like, how? Like,
what?
So fast.
So how's the infrastructure? How is that? I don't know. From my standpoint, and I think this is very important for us to connect to, because as much as I would assume that we are getting the vaccine, because number one, they started with the elderly, you know, specific group that is the most, a compromised immune system. And then they went from health practitioners, and then they moved on to, you know, educators, and then, you know, different people at that current point. I haven't yet. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the vaccine to see if I'm going to go in that direction. And I have not gotten in. I always taking tests to make sure that I'm, number one, protecting the people that are around me. That's more the reason why I take it so many. I can't remember, like, maybe 50, because I move around so much, but I also protect myself and I do a lot of social distancing. Thank God I work from home, you know? But I just, it's crazy for me to even hear that other countries, that's not even on the table.
So we went from a pretty hard lockdown in the very beginning, like everything closed, to slowly trying to ease it back up. But now that I think about it, not really. I mean, like everything's closed. Like you can't go to restaurants, you can't go to, like right now, the stores are closed. Like you can go to a grocery store, but you can't like go to a shoe store, you know? Like if you need anything other than food, you have to order it online right now. They've done this click and meet thing where you can like order it and then pick it up like curbside. But I don't know, like with the things that I would want to go buy, like clothes, shoes, I'll just order it online, you know?
Specifically realize, like what I've noticed too is like, do I really need it? Like, I'm not going anywhere.
My Amazon account says that I do really need all the things.
I spent my, because I did a lot of traveling, of course, last year, because I was just like, F that. Like, I'm a wanderlust at heart. I just, you know, I don't know who I was in the other lifetime, but I moved around a lot, obviously. And when I got back in December, January and February, I was like, okay, I'm going to stay still. And I went through all my clothes. My son's, he was in Texas with his dad. And it just gave us time. It gave me time to do a lot of purging. So right now my closet is immaculate and I can look in there and really, when I go out, I'm just window shopping. And if I need something, I switch it out. Like, okay, so if I get that, Cerise, something needs to go. So So I have to be willing to get it.
I should probably start doing that.
Oh yeah, like I did a complete haul. I did the wood, no more wire hangers, no more plastic. Like I went there, girl. I went like 100%. Like, okay, this is gonna look good. And my best friend, he came over and he's like, looks like a boutique in here. I was like, that's the you know, because you want, like, the pandemic just really kind of changed perspective.
Yeah.
And helped me kind of just take everything back and say, you know what, I got a lot of stuff already, you know, I got like, why do I need this or that? I'm very grateful and very thankful. And going in that direction, how are you and your family during this whole year? Cause this is kind of like the anniversary, March, last year this time, our life changed.
Since March of last year, we've done some homeschooling for I think about most of it, and then they have smaller size classes right now where they get to go like twice a week and meet half the kids. But it's been tough. Like my lifestyle has changed 100% this year, like with being stuck in the house and not going anywhere. We used to travel a lot. Like with my fitness coaching job, we would be going to events or, you know, trips or retreats like 3-4 times a year. Mm-hmm. And the girls will go to many of those too. So they're kind of used to, mm-hmm. you know, hopping on a plane and going somewhere. And now they've just been sitting still and they don't get to meet their friends. They don't get to go on play dates. They, you know, we can't do any of that stuff right now. So it's been a challenge. Like you can definitely tell that everybody's getting really irritated. Like you can definitely like just that the level of irritation is right. Just completely different because you have no outlet. I mean, except for me with working out, but you know, like, and we would do a lot of music too. So we've right. kind of shifted to that, but you don't get away from each other. You know, you're just always together and they're great, but you're
your buddies. They're your buddies.
Always. Always. You have no choice.
That's like my son. My son is like, he's, thank God we get along. You know, yeah. we have conversations. We have, you know, drink. We call it drinks and conversation. Of course, he's not drinking, but it's like, let's chat it up. I mean, that's the only way that we survive is that.
Yeah.
Having that, you know, establishing that they're really great relationship, that bond with your kids. Cause there's some people that I know that they're like, what parenting? It's like, yeah, we have these kids. You kind of just like, yes, we have these kids. They are now 100% in our face, you know? So it's crazy. And I've also seen relationships shift too, you know, which is very, very interesting as well. And you know, I'm single, so it's a different perspective for me. But yeah, all good things, you know, you kind of have to look at it as a way of, how can I get at what's the most I can get out of this situation,
yeah.
you know? And I know that you had a health coaching business. How did you get into that? So
I was
therapy. You went from there and then you have the family business. And how were you introduced in health coaching?
I was morbidly obese. I was at 230 pounds. And I was just really, really miserable. And like, I mean, my family business is like nutrition optimization. My degree is in how to keep the body healthy and moving.
Right.
And I was sitting there, and I was morbidly obese and I felt like I couldn't change it. Like I had lost all hope. Like I had all the tools. I know how to do it. I just couldn't get it done. And there were just a couple of situations where like I was supposed to represent the family business somewhere. And I was like, I can't go like this. I can't go represent a health-based business looking like this. I just can't. So I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
This one always gets me. And it's just, I would stand in my closet crying every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I was just, my knees were hurt, my feet were hurt, my hips were hurt. I'm sorry, that one.
I mean, that's what you were feeling.
Miserable. I was miserable. And Yeah, it was just that one day where I was like, this is it. Like, I need to change something. And I would eat a whole bag of those Lindor chocolates every night. So along with everything else I'm eating, but just those 2000 calories on top every night. And I was like, you know what, let me just replace that and see what happens. So I got me one of those, like, those shakes that were chocolate flavored. And I was like, I'll replace a whole bag with that. And I lost like 6 pounds the first week just by making that shift. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So let me see what happens if I also, you know, just eat a little bit less. Like, I don't need 3 plates of pasta, maybe 2 are okay. So I made those gradual shifts. And then I was, you know, like 12 pounds later in 2 weeks, I was like, maybe if I move a little bit, let's see what happens. Cause I was so motivated because I saw those results so quickly. And I had a really amazing friend who was supporting me along the way. And she's still 6 years later. We have like a little accountability group right now with the same lady, and she's still there. And she'll still call me up. It's like, hey, I saw you post a food picture I have already seen. Did you eat cereal for dinner? I was like, I did. You called me. But like, we just really keep each other in check, you know? Right. And that was such an amazing experience for me that I just felt I wanted to pass that on to the next person. So I've just been sharing what I'm doing on my social media for, I think, 6 years now. Mm-hmm. And just along the way, whoever needs help, whoever needs, you know, just somebody in that corner, I'm there for it, you know, because I didn't have to do it alone. And it just, it makes such a difference if you have somebody in your corner, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, if, especially if it comes with like a good set of, you know, ideas of what you can do. Because like, I mean, I could have done like the YouTube videos, but I just needed like a more structured approach and somebody that's like really helping right. me along the way.
That does help, because everything is, number one, emotional shift. Yeah. Anything that you do, regardless, right? It's that emotional shift. And once you get that emotional shift, you do need some support. You know, some people can do things by themselves. So, you know, those are amazing people. Those are, you know, anomalies. But just to have that support and a great unit to be there for you, to champion you on your journey and your weight loss journey, that makes a difference. A huge difference. So is it the company, does it have a specific, like a proprietary shake and foods or anything like that? Like, would you tell us more about that?
It's like a whole, so it's like the Netflix of fitness. Like, you have your programs. I mean, you've seen the little schedule that I cross
right.
off. Like,
yes. Yes.
Do this today, you know, and it kind of gives you a really good structure. It comes with nutrition guidelines, and you can like either do a pretty strict plan where it's like, okay, you plan this out ahead, or a plan that's more free flowing where, you know, you kind of track along and go that route. And there's supplements and all of that. And when you work with that company, you can kind of decide how you want to go about it. And my approach is just, you know, whatever fits you. Like, I'm not gonna like try to push something on you that you don't need or don't want. Like, we have anything from free to really expensive, like, you know, and wherever you are with your journey, with your soul, with your needs, you know, I'm just there for it. I'm just there to cheer that next person on, you know, and whichever route they want to go, I'm with it.
That is so awesome. Yeah. So from the time from 6 years ago to now, how much pounds have you lost?
At my best, which is not where I'm at now.
Girl, you look so freaking good. I don't know what you're talking about.
At my very, very lowest weight, let's put it that way, I had lost 97 pounds.
Wow, exceptional.
Yeah. So 97 was the biggest span I had. But yeah, right now, I was working really, really hard at that time. Like, it was, you know, I would, like, there would be no donuts on Saturday like I do now. But I have to say, like, I feel like I really found, like, the happy medium right now where mm-hmm. Where it doesn't feel like a chore, where it just fits in my day. And if I want a donut, I eat a donut. And, you know, I'm just really at a very comfortable place with I guess with my body, but it's more of a mindset and mental thing, really. I mean, the body kind of ends up representing it sometimes for some people, but like at the end of the day, it's just about feeling happy.
Right.
And for me, it's also the feeling of accomplishment when I know, okay, I've said I was going to do this and I'm doing it.
Right. Yeah. Because it was just to piggyback on that, and congratulations, because I know that that's a journey. That is such a journey. And but it's so, how was it during COVID though? How was it for you when you're at home and you, because a lot of us, like, we turn to food as a comfort zone. Like, how did you juggle that or balance that out? And then I'm sure you have your clients. What did you guys do to now change that up during COVID and to also be accountable for yourself? But then you have this list of clients. Like, what did you do differently?
It was a really interesting flow of things throughout the pandemic. In the very beginning, everybody was like, yeah, home workouts. Like, we're doing this so hard.
Right.
For
right.
A week. And then, sorry. For me personally, I had a different situation where I ended up having to have surgery. So I was kind of knocked on my butt three times. And then, you know, the last surgery I got was on purpose. So I kind of had to take a step back, and I kind of withdrew a lot too, like from social media, from, you know. But yeah, that was definitely the time where all the pizza was eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just because, yeah, so for me it was kind of like this really high in the beginning of the pandemic where everybody was super motivated and I was all the way with it, and then I kind of had to take a personal three month off. But then from there I came back and I was like, you know what, I'm going back all in, and I've just been making sure that I show up, because I know there's people watching. And you do get the feedback that if they see me being this consistent, it makes them want to do something too. So I can't speak for all of my followers, but I do have a few close friends and close clients that have kind of been on that journey with me in that same pattern.
Yeah, it was tough, because I did, for me, I did gain weight, and then you kind of like get yourself out of that. And you just like, girl, be that sexy person that you are. Okay. You remember, you're going to get out of this pandemic. Okay. You're going to get out of this. And I buckled down and just was like, okay, like you said, I had to drop it. I think I had to drop like 15 pounds. I'm like, okay, drop it. Come on, girl. Let's get it. Not the, like, oh, next week I'll try it. Okay. Oh yeah. Next week. Uh-huh. After this trip.
I did that for years before I started. I was like, okay, Monday. Okay. Next week. Okay.
Next week.
After this event. And sometimes you just have to stop thinking about it and just do it. Right. That's something that I've learned. Like, you can't keep having that conversation with yourself. Sometimes you just need to stop that discussion and just put shoes on and go. Like, I don't care what you do. I don't care if you do the whole thing, but you just stop talking, you know, and just do the thing and see what happens, you know?
And then also too, it's like, I have to develop another, because I feel like I'm fairly healthy, right? But I also have to figure out too, why I was eating at a certain time of the night. I was like, what is really going on there? You know, maybe it's like that psychology part of me. It's like, why are you not eating throughout the day? This time, getting up in the middle of the night and you're eating. Like, so I had time to really kind of like peel back those layers too, why I was doing those things. And then when I realized, okay, are you being bored? And there's just, you know, like write a list of things. And then I'm like, okay, oh, this might be the reason, you know? And then really kind of look at that. Like, let's look at this reason, and then let's remove the vices out of the refrigerator and all those things, and just develop, just, you know, just develop every day, change something, like you said, you know, and I wanted to be very gentle on myself too. You know, that's the word, just be very gentle and kind and know that I will lose the weight, but I'm not on anyone's race either too. And every week things came off and I was like, yeah, girl, you got this. And then boom, the 15 pounds, just let go. And like you said, my son is back now. I'm like, whoa, when he came back, I'm like, oh my God, am I going to gain the weight back? Whatever. But now I look at foods differently and like, yeah, you know what? I'm religious with this. Like my son, he's irritated when I do it, but I think he kind of likes it. I'll get a bite of his food. Like, give me a bite. Cause I just want to taste the food. Cause my food is different. And he's like, whatever. And then now he's so used to it. He's like, here's the last bite. I'm like, thank you.
What you said is actually an approach that I really, really like with my clients where, you know, when you start, just track at first, just write things down, get an understanding for what's actually happening.
Right.
Because like sometimes we have a very warped understanding of what we're actually doing and what's actually going in there and how much we actually move. So it's a really, really good tool to just bring more consciousness to, you know, what's actually happening, you know?
Right.
And then that way you can, you know, like you said, like that is absolutely perfect. You just start, you know, making little shifts, you know, see what works for you, see what feels right, you know?
Yeah. And then also it's like the social media and body image that plays into the piece too. Yeah. Right. So I don't know how it is, in Germany or, you know, Europe and their perception, you know, but here in California or, you know, United States, but you know, California specifically where the entertainment, Becca, you know, of the world. And, you know, there is already a few different images out there floating around, and you know, there's the Cardi B look, and then there's the Kim Kardashian look, or this is the model look, or this is this look. And if you're outside of that, then you're not, you know, acceptable. How is it back in Europe? Like, what does that look like?
That is so interesting. But first of all, don't get me wrong, I do use my filters and I know my angles, you know. But it's very interesting. The first time I went to the States. So over here, people are skinnier. I think that's a fact.
Is it because of the walking? Is it? But it goes back where you're talking about the mayonnaise, the big jar of mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Here in the United States versus over there. So I remember getting tubes.
When you buy food here, it goes bad faster. So you actually, like if you buy something, it's a lot less processed. You actually have to like cook it and use it or it goes bad. People are more active overall. I remember I was in the States and I tried to work from my job to the gas station across the street and I couldn't because there was no pedestrian walkway. Like this is something everywhere you go here, you can walk it.
Right.
It might be far, but there will be a path for you to get there. And I was so shocked because I was like, why can't I walk across the street? I don't understand. Like it didn't compute. So I think overall we're more active here on a daily basis. A lot more walking, lots more biking. And I think the food is different. The portion sizes are smaller. It's definitely a big difference. The first time I ate at what was it? Cheesecake Factory. I was like, why is the plate so big? Why is there so much on it? Like it's
right.
I think it's a combination of a couple of things, but yeah. So now over here, definitely the skinnier look, like the just flat, less curvy, I guess is preferred.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I can't speak for everybody, but yeah, I just remember that I think I was in maybe like 18 or 19 and I went to the States again. And over here, I was kind of the chunky girl. And I was kind of like the same I am right now, kind of ish. And I remember going over there and I was like, ew, like I'm so skinny in comparison. Mm-hmm. It was so weird. It's really, that's part of the culture shock of seeing the amount of obese people out and about. Like, that's something you don't see here like that. I don't know if they stay home or if they don't exist. I'm not sure, but.
Yeah, I noticed that, spending a lot of time in Europe is that there is this component of life happens on foot, you know, like you're there's a lot of social aspect of Europe, but people are really not, because it's so crowded, and, mm-hmm. I remember the streets in Kuala weren't really like impacted. They remind me really just, remind me of downtown LA. Have you been to downtown LA? And
okay, I'm about to, does Hollywood count?
Lakewood?
Does Hollywood count as LA?
Oh, I wouldn't compare Colin. It was Hollywood. Because it's so much nice and clean, but it has this more aesthetic. I don't know how to describe it, but.
A restaurant somewhere in LA.
Yeah. It reminds me of that. But, like when you're in Hollywood, it's more touristy. So it's a lot of tourists walking around. It's not specifically us. We're in our cars and we're causing the traffic, you know? But I just going to Europe, it's like, we'll go in a car and we'll do Uber here and there, but it's specifically we're walking around, you know? And that I appreciate because I feel good when I'm there because I get like that exercise with, seeing a different part of the world and just going into stores, like a convenience store, and they have a prepackaged, meals in mm-hmm. Europe, they're healthy. You know, it's just like the small portions and you can never go wrong eating there. Never, no matter, I've been to Sweden, I've been to Germany, I've been to France. Like you can never, if you're gonna go into a store, especially 7-Eleven in Sweden, mm-hmm. the food is
they
amazing.
They have 7-Eleven in Sweden.
Yes, they do. Stockholm is so bomb. And you're just like, wait a minute, why do they have better food than us? But you're just like, you look at the quality of living is totally different. But we have the weather here.
True. I love to travel that way.
Right. But I wanted to thank you so much because I know that it's like talking to you, it's like talking to like a girlfriend of mine. So I really appreciate your candidness and your openness. And I know that we could probably talk another hour hopefully get you on in a different stage, like in the next 6 months to see what's going on with you, if you don't mind. Yeah. And, I always ask my guests to leave us with some type of wisdom. And I remember asking one person, they're like, some like wisdom, like a takeaway or like, yeah, anything like that. And they're like, okay, well, that means I need to be wise, but I wouldn't ask anyone if I didn't think that they were wise. So what would be your takeaway or in what you've been through for the past year that you can provide someone that's going through some things or trying to lose weight or anything like that, or start a business?
You like completely caught me off guard with that one. And it put me immediately into a spiral of no. But that is the one thing. And I think I just spoke about this on my stories actually today, because when you asked me, yeah. It's like, hey, you want to do this podcast? I was like, no.
I saw that. Yes. I re-put it on my show. I put it on my story. It's amazing.
I was like, no, like my immediate instinctive response is always no. And I've learned that sometimes you just have to say yes. You just have to get out of your comfort zone and just do the thing. Like, even if it's scary, even if you've never done it before, don't be silly about it. Like, if that no is there for a reason, please do listen. But if right. that no is just there kind of out of fear and just holding you back, just do it anyways. Just go for it, you know?
And I'm so glad you did. And I hope you do more of these because you have a lot to share. Hopefully this will open you more into a different side of like the podcast world or beyond what you're doing, because you do so much on an everyday basis. You're sharing yourself. And I think that's amazing. And my whole thing is like, if you're going to be on social media, and this is my perspective, let's give good content, let's give something that we can, if we're going to log on and we're going to see some things, that we're able to look at things that are so impactful, because the world, the world has changed now, and there's so much just grief and stress in here, and right now, even more so in the past year, we had to turn to social media just for pastimes. What else did we have? Yeah. So to see individuals like you out there, and you represent women all over the world. I don't know if you realize that, but you're touching people, okay? You're touching people and you're being impactful. And thank you for being on my show.
And thank you so much again for inviting me.
Hey, it was supposed to happen. It was supposed to happen. Great timing. And you have a wonderful night. Kiss your daughters. I want to see you guys were playing the guitar yesterday.
Yeah. We're practicing a little bit.
See, stuff like that. So hopefully everyone taps in. And so all your pages, websites, how do we find you?
So it's No Excuse Fit Mom on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's just my name on Facebook if you want to come hang out and be friends. So it's Marijke Lott, but I'm sure we'll put that in writing somewhere.
Yeah, so I'm gonna have everything.
But yeah, that's you can stop at noexcusefitmom.com, and that's really about it. Just, you know, come hang out.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, and everyone have a wonderful day and stay blessed.